You hit the runway with your tail. Barely. A gusty crosswind caught you low on the flare. Density altitude wasn't what you expected, and the skid kissed the pavement for just a fraction of a second. If you're flying a Cessna 172, you pull off at the next taxiway. Your mechanic looks it over, and you're back in the pattern by afternoon. Now, put that same scenario at 140 knots in the back end of a Boeing 777. Unpleasant. Yes. Paperwork. Absolutely. But in many cases, that aircraft is back in revenue service in a matter of days. Put that same tail strike on a Boeing 787 Dreamliner or an Airbus A350. You could be looking at weeks on the ground. Same airline, same runway, same physics. Completely different outcome. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to break down exactly why. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com Aviation. Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, the difference comes down to one word, materials. The Boeing 777 is fundamentally an aluminum airplane. About 70% of its structure by weight is aluminum alloy. The same material commercial aviation has built on for decades. The 787 Dreamliner, by contrast, is roughly 50% composite by weight. So is the Airbus A350, which comes in at about 53% composite. We're talking carbon fiber reinforced polymer, or CFRP, laid up in thousands of precisely oriented layers, bonded together and cured under heat and pressure. That shift in materials changed almost everything about how these jets fly. Composites are lighter, stronger in the right directions, and far more corrosion resistant than aluminum. The 787's composite fuselage doesn't develop the same pressurization fatigue that metal fuselages do, which is part of why Boeing could raise the cabin altitude and humidity on that airplane. Airlines loved it, passengers noticed it. But composites have a vulnerability that aluminum doesn't, and a tail strike exposes it completely. Here's the core problem. When metal gets hit, it deforms visibly. You can see it, a dent, a wrinkle in the skin, a buckled frame, the damage announces itself. A trained eye, and sometimes even an untrained one, can look at an aluminum structure after an impact and define the boundaries of what needs to be fixed. Composites don't play by those rules. Carbon fiber reinforced polymer can suffer significant internal structural damage from an impact that leaves almost nothing visible on the surface. The industry term is barely visible impact damage, or BVID. What's happening inside the material is called delamination. The individual layers of carbon fiber and the resin matrix that bonds them begin to separate. Those separations can propagate well beyond the point of impact. You might have a tail strike that scuffs a few square inches of paint on the exterior, but internally, the damage has spread across a much larger area in ways you cannot see with your eyes. And here's why that matters structurally. The strength of a composite panel doesn't come from any single layer. It comes from all the layers working together, sharing loads in tension and compression. Once those layers start separating, you've compromised the load path. The structure can still look intact from the outside. It is not intact. So when a maintenance crew rolls up to a 787 or an A350 after a tail strike, they cannot simply look at the damage and make a call. They have to map the interior. The inspection process for composite damage is intensive. Ultrasonic testing is the primary tool. Technicians bounce sound waves through the structure and interpret the return signal. Where the material is intact, the sound passes cleanly. Where there's delamination or internal voids, the signal changes. They're building a picture of the interior of the material from the outside. Sonar for carbon fiber. Thermographic inspection is also used. Heat is applied to the surface, and an infrared camera watches how temperature distributes through the material. Delaminated areas conduct heat differently than intact areas, and those differences show up clearly in the thermal image. Tap testing, the low-tech end of the toolkit, is exactly what it sounds like. A trained technician taps the surface with a coin or a specialized instrument and listens to the acoustic response. A solid tap means intact composite. A dull thud means something is separated below. It sounds almost too simple for a structure that cost hundreds of millions of dollars to build, but it remains part of the approved inspection methodology. And a skilled inspector covers a lot of ground with it. The problem isn't any one of these non-destructive testing techniques on its own. It's the scope that's required, because composite damage can propagate in unexpected ways. The inspection zone around a tail strike has to be substantially larger than the visible contact area. You're searching for damage with no external signs, using equipment that requires specialists to operate and interpret. That takes time, a lot of it. Then you get to the repair. Fixing aluminum is relatively well understood. You're working with material that's been in aviation service for close to a century. You remove the damaged section, you fabricate a replacement, or install a doubler, a reinforcing patch that redistributes load around the affected area. You rivet or bond it in place. The techniques are standardized, the materials are available at virtually any maintenance facility in the world, and most licensed airframe mechanics have the training to perform or oversee the work. Composite repair is a different discipline entirely. When you repair a composite structure, you're not just replacing damaged material, you're reconstituting a structure that derives its properties from the precise orientation, thickness, and sequence of its fiber layers. You have to remove the damaged material in a very controlled way, typically a tapered cut that steps back through each layer progressively, exposing clean material at every level. Then you lay in new prepreg plies, sheets of carbon fiber pre-impregnated with resin in the correct fiber orientation for each layer, matching the original engineering drawings exactly. Stack them in the wrong order, orient the fibers incorrectly, and you've put the right material into the wrong structure. Then you have to cure it. Heat and pressure, applied under precise control, for a specific duration. For structural repairs, that often means an autoclave, a pressurized oven that applies heat and pressure uniformly across the repair zone. Some repairs can be done with a portable heat blanket and a vacuum bag, which holds the new plies in place and applies localized pressure while heat is applied externally. Either way, you're talking about controlled conditions, calibrated equipment, and a curing cycle that might run for hours. The facility doing the repair has to be specifically certified for composite structural work. Not every maintenance, repair, and overhaul facility, or MRO, carries that certification. The technicians performing the layup have to be trained in composite repair processes. The materials themselves, prepreg carbon fiber, have a shelf life and a storage temperature requirement. You cannot pull a roll off the shelf that's been sitting in a warm warehouse. And when the repair is complete, you inspect it again with the same ultrasonic and thermographic tools to confirm the repair is sound. Then the engineering team at the original equipment manufacturer reviews the repair disposition before the aircraft returns to service. That chain, inspect, scope the damage, engineer the repair, procure materials, prepare the facility, perform the layup, cure it, inspect it again, get engineering sign-off, is why a composite tail strike on a 787 or an A350 can mean weeks on the ground. The process is not bureaucratic slowness. The physics of the material demand every step. Now contrast that with the 777. Boeing designed the 777 with a tail skid, a retractable steel skid at the very tip of the tail cone specifically to absorb energy and protect the aft fuselage structure during a tail strike event. When the skid makes contact, it deforms in a controlled way and gives maintenance crews an immediate indicator of what happened and roughly how hard the contact was. Replace the skid, inspect the surrounding structure, in many cases, a visual inspection combined with a borescope look at the internal aluminum framing is enough to establish the scope of the damage. If aluminum frame damage is found, doublers go on. Frames get repaired or replaced. The repair techniques are conventional airframe work, executable by a competent heavy maintenance facility with the right drawings and materials on hand. The 777 can sometimes return to service under a temporary configuration that allows the aircraft to fly to a facility equipped for permanent repairs, under restrictions, perhaps limited to certain altitudes or non-revenue flight, but moving under its own power. You cannot easily do that with a composite structure where the integrity is in question. That aircraft stays on the ground until you know what you're dealing with. This is not a criticism of the 787 or the A350. Those airframes deliver real operational advantages, fuel efficiency, corrosion resistance, cabin comfort, that justify the engineering trade-off. Airlines understood what they were buying, and the major carriers operating large composite-heavy fleets have invested accordingly. Specialized non-destructive testing equipment, trained composite repair technicians, partnerships with MRO facilities that carry the right certifications and the right tooling. What it does mean is that the maintenance and dispatch picture after a ground incident is fundamentally different in the composite era than it was in the all-aluminum era. An airline operating a single 787 in a thin market, far from a capable MRO facility, faces a different exposure when a tail strike happens than a carrier with a deep fleet and an in-house heavy maintenance operation. For the pilots listening, you may never perform a composite repair, but understanding why your operations center is telling you an aircraft is down for 3 weeks and not 3 days is part of the operational picture. It's not an airline being overly conservative. The material demands it. Composites change the performance envelope, they also change the maintenance envelope. The two were always going to be inseparable. Information for today's segment came from Simple Flying and supporting technical literature on composite repair processes. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay ahead of the airplane.